and welcome to Saturday Morning Cartoons, the weekly podcast that revisits, reviews, and ridicules some of the world's weirdest animated series. I'll be your host, Dave Trumbor. Joining me today, as always, the D.C. area improv artist and comedian, Sean Paul Ellis. How's it going, bud?
David, I'm great. How about yourself?
Not too bad. And the freshly moved up the West Coast, I think, Matt Barron. How you doing, buddy?
Good, how you doing?
Not bad. Did you move north, south? I'm terrible with Bay Area geography.
With coordinates
and maps and the Googles.
So technically, well, I mean also literally east. I just moved to the other side of the Bay Bridge. So
you just take a little ferry boat across there?
No, just we had a car. Yeah, exactly. That's what I did.
Well, I'll tell you what, a car would have come in handy for the show we're going to talk about today.
So I could have run it over.
Well, we know how Matt feels about this one. We're going to be talking about, since it was 4th of July weekend this past weekend, hopefully you're all recovering from that, we're going to be talking about Liberty's Kids. It was a early 2000s educational show that was set in colonial times and centered on three kids of varying backgrounds that kind of took other students, as they're watching it, through the American Revolution over a period of about 20 years. Kids never age in the 15, 20 years.
It was so creepy.
Yeah, kids never age. They stay the same. Ben Franklin, however, he ages, probably due to his rampant venereal disease, which they don't really touch on in this show, surprisingly, because it's meant for like 8-year-olds. But
yeah, really, in terms of historical accuracy, right. They really kind of like they put aside a lot of the misogynistic tendencies of Ben Franklin.
Love him in this.
Oh God. Well, I mean, here's the thing: is that these kids are essentially under his ward.
Yes. Yeah. So this is basically the synopsis here. Yeah.
They are kind of like asked to record history, like from their eyes as children's, through the part of the Revolutionary War. And so like from the Boston Tea Party to the Revolutionary War. And I want to get this out. I hate history. Like this show.
This was torture for you, I'm sure.
This show made me realize that I hate history. And I'm glad that it is history because I'm trying to move on with my life, guys. And this history is just making me continue to look back all the time.
Well, hold that thought, because for the next hour, we're going to be talking about it again. So after you're done with that, yeah. You can put it behind you.
Oh, are we going to be hating on something that we all didn't really super enjoy? Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Buddy, you can hate away. I was actually not pleasantly surprised by this, but I guess neutrally surprised. So I don't even know if that was really good. It wasn't as bad as I thought.
Is that actually a thing?
I guess. I mean, it is now. Exactly. Yeah. I was neutrally not moved. I posted the theme song up a couple days ago, which I thought, now the theme song was my kind of like first foray into this thing, because we were all in college by the time the show was on, so definitely not the audience it was aimed at, but just from the
We should have mentioned that the original run went from 2000 to 2003,
correct.
Like late 2000 until early 2003.
Yeah, this was another one that they cranked out like 40 episodes of it, and then just syndicated
one
it out.
One season, 40 episodes.
Yeah, which, I mean, it kind of makes sense, because it's not like a they're not going to
serialize
it.
Oh, because history's finite.
It's very finite.
They got to the Revolutionary War, like, oh, fuck, we're done with this show.
Everything's going to be smooth sailing from here. Yeah.
Like, guys, let's just push it forward and see if we can get all the way to WW1.
I mean, pretty much nothing happened between the ratification of the U.S. Constitution and, like, Civil War. That's 70 years. Probably nothing happened there, right? So we'll just skip right
on that. Probably not a damn thing. No, and also, those kids wouldn't have aged in that 30 years anyway, so what does it matter?
No, they were all Highlanders. It was kind of weird.
Just a bunch of McLeods.
They were all from the Connor McLeod clan.
God.
Yeah. Well, there
I'm sorry, I cut you off, Dave.
No, it's cool. I don't even remember what my train of thought was going to be, but we've already covered the series synopsis and pretty much the history of it, so what the hell? Let's get into it.
You know, it was, just a quick history thing. It was by...
Deke.
It was by Deke, and here's the thing, is that Deke has made so many wonderful cartoons and shows, like, throughout the years.
Yeah.
I want to just put a shout-out to Deke. Like, they just do...
Old school
they
Deke.
Have, Retro yeah, they've
Deke,
done like a lot of
Deke.
Like yeah. Vintage Deke did like a lot of great stuff, and so I was actually when I saw that originally, I was just like, oh my god, it was the thing that every time at the very end of a show they'd come up, and I just laughed myself like a pubescent.
Yeah, they always cut that in there, so it would come up for. I mean, I'm sure people remember it was like the shiny. It was a big D. Go ahead, you can laugh again. Lowercase I and a big C. And before little kids could just shout out Dick, they were just like Deke. And they're like, Deke. Obviously, it's definitely Deke.
I felt like it was, here's the thing, I felt like it was an inside joke that Deke and I shared together. Yes. And we were always and laughing thousands at something of other kids that was immature. Around yes. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right, buddy. It kept us
all right. So you, the first thing that you got into was theme song.
Yeah, so I had no idea what this was. We had the idea that since it was the holiday, we were going to do like a holiday theme show. And we were just like, we'll do it again, I'm sure. for 4th of July, I don't know.
This we'll is be just equally as fucked next week.
Yeah, we'll forget. I mean, we have short-term memory problems, so... yeah, so holidays, looked up 4th of July stuff. There were like some specials. We were looking at like Schoolhouse Rock, which is probably like the equivalent for us as kids and even an older generation as kids as to what this show was. But yeah, the theme song is my first introduction. Now, that theme song, you can check it out on our site. It's not great. Not great. Not even great as far as like the theme songs that we like to make fun of. It's only like a minute and a half long, but 45 seconds through it, it just breaks down into this quote-unquote freedom rap, which was pretty awful. Oh, and Sean, who wrote and possibly performed this again?
David, I'm so glad that you asked me. Yeah. It was Aaron Carter. Oh, yeah. And if you're wondering to yourself, Aaron Carter, who was he a part of? He is the brother
what was
of
his... Nick. What was his function in colonial America?
What was his claim to mediocrity?
His claim to fame was basically he was like in the late 1990s, he was a teenage pop sensation. You might know him from his brother, Nick Carter, yes. Who was in Backstreet Boys.
So there you go. Ugh. And now you know the rest of the story. So that's it. Just a weird little side thing. So again, like we said, this historical series set in the 1770s up through the 1780s, and Ben Franklin was like this jolly, jovial, revolutionary, but pretty much like a grandfatherly, or just like a friendly uncle kind of character, and he had this print shop. That's where all these kids worked, and they were basically like junior reporters. Now, let's
like
talk
all
about...
all uncles do. Every uncle
Yeah, every uncle
print
does
shop.
It. Every uncle owns a print shop. They're not creepy at all, and they want you to get involved with the revolution. And report on it from the front lines sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Child soldiers.
Good stuff, punk.
This is like Coney 2012.
What was the battle like? It was horrifying.
It was terrible.
Not at this show.
You know what a bayonet is? Ooh.
I saw one shoved through a man's face.
Yeah, these kids should be haggard. Let alone the fact that they don't age. They should be in like... psychological counseling at this point.
They should be so upset. I feel like sitting down as like a counselor for any of these kids, you'd be like, so tell me, how was your day? And the kids would just be like, seen some real shit.
As they're like smoking a cigarette. Yeah.
They're doing a line of coke off of like, you know, a couch or an ottoman.
I don't think they let you do that in therapy.
Oh, you can really? Do it in the colonial time, anything went. You can do colonial coke all day long.
Oh, so Coke Classic.
Yeah, it wasn't it wasn't part of the Stamp Act, so they didn't have to pay extra tariffs on that at the time.
Oh boy!
Just the tea, which is what we'll get to in a little bit, because the first episode revolves around the Boston Tea Party. Kind of odd that the actual Tea Party was probably less violent than it was on this show, but whatever. We'll get into the historical accuracies and inaccuracies as we go along, but let's get into the characters. The historical characters, everybody, especially like America, kids that came up in the American education system, will know and love for the most part. Ben Franklin we start with. Now, since Ben Franklin's role in this is sort of a revolutionary, yes, but also sort of a journalist, I thought it was really interesting that they got Mr. Walter Cronkite to do the voice of him. And that is just the tip of the iceberg in this, too. Yeah.
This is what blew my mind, was that, Dave, when you sent out the email that had, like, all of the characters and stuff like that, like, it blew my mind how many noteworthy, like, A-list celebrities voiced characters on this show.
None of the main characters, except for Walter Cronkite.
Yeah,
the rest
none,
were just,
none of the main characters.
That blew me away, too.
Yeah.
Now, I think because but, it I mean, has, like, an educational really cool. slant to it, I think it was probably a little easier for them to get to do that.
And a tax write-off.
Exactly. So you guys want to talk about a few of them? Do you have that list up in front of you?
Oh, God, yeah. Let's talk about it. Paul Revere was voiced by Sylvester Stallone.
Which is an obvious choice.
Sure. Because Paul
Revere... Yo, what if I live to a fight scene? Bruce Cullen.
Like, if that happened, everybody would be like...
That was amazing.
Does Paul Revere have, like... Is he having a stroke?
Did he get hit by, like, a stray bullet? Is he all right?
Unintelligible? Pretty much, if Paul Revere had... Ben Sylvester Stallone, the British would have invaded us hands down, because everybody would have been like, what the fuck is that mush mouth saying? Like, I can't understand a fucking word out of his mouth.
Pretty amazing, though. Pretty amazing. Equally amazing, I think, when you think Thomas Jefferson, you think, you know, a progressive thinker, a somewhat controversial character, an eloquent, maybe not speaker, but writer. So obviously when you put all those things together, the first person that comes to mind to voice him is Ben Stiller.
Of course. Of course. 100%.
Yeah. You think Zoolander when you think Thomas Jefferson.
Just Jefferson flashing that blue steel.
So that was an interesting one.
He was a stylish man. Mm-hmm.
That Jefferson. He loved the ladies.
Love the ladies.
Yeah. So,
John Adams was voiced by Billy Crystal.
And that one's just kind of weird. It's like, all right.
Yeah,
I guess.
That was weird.
I mean, it was well before Paul Giamatti's turn as John Adams on the fantastic HBO miniseries, John Adams.
Yes.
Which is, that's what I watched all 4th of July as I was working. They had the whole miniseries on there. It was fantastic. That's where I learned most of my history. I don't know if it's accurate or not, but whatever.
HBO.
Nailed it. Just like Game of Thrones, that's where I learned my European history. So.
Yeah, at what point in time were dragons, when did they exist?
In the, the pre-times.
Yeah, nailed it.
Yeah, pre-times.
There you go. You should study
during the Targaryen dynasty.
The Targaryen dynasty.
Sean, you hate history. What do you care?
Yeah, I hate history. No, I know it. I just don't enjoy it. It's just not something that, like, I don't nerd out on.
What'd you say, Matt?
I said, Dave, you can read, right?
You know, it's something I've struggled with for a long time. As a writer, I hate to...
You don't know what you're writing?
No, I don't. I just hope for the best across my fingers. And people keep paying me, so, I mean, it works.
We just usually get a lot of emails from Dave throughout the week that just say, like, poop, copy-paste, like, 20 times.
The guys just, they just hide it from me. It's not something we like to advertise, but, you know, this is why we moved to a podcast and audio medium. Much better.
Oh, my God.
My outlines
Benedict
are complete
Arnold.
Mess.
Benedict Arnold is voiced by Dustin Hoffman.
That's another one that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Rain Man Benedict Arnold.
Now, I will say this for the next three on our list here. They at least more or less match up the ethnicity, I guess, of it.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was kind of interesting. So you've got Baron von Steuben, who you're going to have to refresh my historical memory. Was he part of the Hessians, or was he the German soldier that came over and was actually helping Washington? I can't remember what.
Oh, man, I thought he was the German soldier that came over to help.
I thought he was, too, but I didn't know if he came from, like, the Hessian faction or not. But anyway, let's just say that he's of the Germanic tribes. So what famous pseudo-German, technically Austrian, would you have voiced
him? Dave, I'm glad that you asked.
Yeah, continue.
Because it is me. It is me only.
Oh, is that who? I wasn't sure who it was. Oh, yeah. Joined us on the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, we couldn't have him and Stallone on at the same time because it would just be a mess. So, thankfully, they came at separate times and recorded that lovely intro for you all. John Paul Jones. Baron, you want to take this one? Can you do your best?
Yeah. John Paul Jones was Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
I just can't do a Liam Neeson.
Nobody can.
I mean, I
really
could call you. I could call you up and tell you I have a specific set of
particular
skills,
set of skills. But... Yeah. This is well before that too. Now the last one, I don't know if you guys know who this is. Do you know who?
First
of all, I don't know who Bernardo de Galvez is. I think he was like a Spanish emperor maybe at the time, or Spanish king. I'm terrible with history. Don Francisco. Don Francisco voiced him. Now, Don Francisco, I only know because of Una Vision and Sábado Gigante. That's the only reason I know him. And I think that's what everybody knows him from. But that's pretty random. Pretty cool. So that is our voice cast of these guys. And these are just ones that just like pop up on random episodes. Now, Whoopi Goldberg also did one. I'm trying to remember her name here. Deborah Sampson. And she was basically like a colonial woman who dressed as a man and joined the Continental Army. So she actually fought in the army. Not the only one to do it, but fairly well known.
It was like the plot of Ladybugs if you removed the soccer component and put in Revolutionary
bullets.
War.
And bullets.
And bullets.
That's exactly what it was like. Yeah. Rodney Dangerfield was around there.
And
somewhere.
I had Rodney Dangerfield. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. Rodney Dangerfield would have made a killer Ben Franklin.
Oh my
actually.
God, this is amazing!
What a great Ben Franklin!
I would have loved this show. If Rodney Dangerfield was in it.
It would have been more historically accurate too.
God. All right.
Yeah, so that was Whoopi Goldberg.
We talk about all of these additional like celebrity voice.
Yeah, who show up for one episode?
Actors,
maybe. Right.
Who show up for one episode? But like we're missing like the main cast of like the three children.
Oh, I don't know
and
the
then,
title. characters? The Liberties kids?
Yeah, the
kids?
Liberties kids.
Kids of Liberty? Sons of Liberty would have been a better...
How pretentious are you to call yourself Liberties kids?
Well, especially because the kids that they have, like, the kids that they have involved. So they have, I don't even want to call them token, but they're very representative of different different backgrounds, ethnic backgrounds, national backgrounds that are forming this new country called America. So you've got...
Sure.
Yeah, so you've got...
Two orphans and a bitch.
And a former slave.
Oh, fuck.
So, yeah, that's pretty rough. That's pretty rough. Geez. But true. I mean, it's kind of true. She was not side of the revolutionaries, let's put it that way.
Nobody really has, like a happy intro story.
Oh, they seem happy about it when they're telling it, though.
That's the weird contrast, is that, like, when they're talking about, they're just... Like, so there is a French character.
Do it. Give me your best French. I was going to take Henri. This one, but go ahead.
No. Yeah, Henri.
Oh, that's it? You're not going to do the rest of his name? Henri Richard Maurice Dutoit.
It's Henri Richard Maurice Duluth Lefebvre. Fabrice.
He's of the Fabrice family.
He is on his way to America. His parents basically sign up to be like indentured servants in order to come over to the New World.
Yeah, which I didn't think the French really had to do that.
Yeah,
but apparently
I didn't remember that either.
French, like, sort of peasantry could do that. I don't know. That was weird.
Here's the thing: I also really didn't pay a ton of attention to history. I should qualify all this with saying that, like, not only do I not enjoy it, but I don't know a ton about it. So,
well, let's just keep this in the framework of a PBS cartoon for like 8 year olds. So you don't have to stretch.
So
too
HBO
far.
Is really the only place.
Yeah, much better, much classier.
In my history. Yes. So he's like en route to the Americas. His parents unfortunately die on the ship.
Of what? And they didn't just die.
The plague. Yeah, they died of the plague. The fucking plague. So, like, he's got plague parents.
Yep.
And so
he's a plague baby. Yep.
Plague baby. And so what happens is the captain of the ship decides that he's going to make him, like, his bitch for the rest of the trip, and just, like, abuses him during that time. And so, sad story again. So
yeah, but he seemed kind of okay when he was talking about it.
He was kind of like... here's the thing. Out of all the characters, I wanted him... I wanted to like him the most.
Yeah.
Like, did anybody else have, like, a character that they were just like, I really want to like this character. And I really wanted to like Henri. And he just, like, every time he opened his mouth, I was just like, you are just...
He's the little...
You are just a fucking scamp.
He's the little energetic, like, kind of gets in trouble, kind of irritating. Yeah. No.
Dude, I think like Moses was the best character.
Definitely.
You think Moses was easily out of this ragtag four of just ridiculous sad stories, like, he was the best.
Well, Baron, you want to give us Moses' background? And it's interesting to know that we don't see, like, an origin episode for each of these characters, really. The closest one is probably Sarah. They're already kind of, like, together as a group, more or less, in that first episode. So we get them, like, at random times. Like, they'll be stopped in the middle of the street during a curfew when the British are basically patrolling the streets, and they'll just stop and have an origin story in the middle of the street after curfew. So it's random stuff like that that's just like, oh, let me tell you some exposition. So, yeah, do you want to tell us Moses' backstory? Because it's pretty awful.
Yeah, so I think he was captured from West Africa, I think, when he said he was, like, 8 or something like that, but definitely really young. And then he came to America against his will. And
As you do.
Yeah. But he learned smithing as a slave, and then he was loaned out on, like, other jobs, made some silver on the side, and bought his freedom eventually. Then came to Boston, somehow ended up working for Ben Franklin. I forgot because I spaced out.
Well, I mean,
here's the thing that I
want
to pause.
He did too when he told that story. He's like, well, yada, 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 I ended up here. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, how do you buy your freedom in the South and then move to, like, probably one of the most racist cities currently in the North?
Well, was he up in Boston or was he down in Philly? I think he was in Philly.
He was in Philly.
Yeah, for the
was he in Philly?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that's where Franklin was, and that's where the Continental Congress was. And
redacted.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Also, when I bought my freedom, I was like, I don't think it worked that way.
Well, he was also like, he was like, I would do some blacksmithing work, and occasionally they would give me a silver coin. I'm like, motherfucker, you got You got, like, yeah, silver coin. That's pretty good.
That's a lot of money.
That's some sort of pence.
That's some good smithing.
I don't know what that is, but. He's like, yeah, and eventually, the dude should be, like, 100 years old by this point in order to, like, buy his freedom. or he just worked nonstop. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but it worked for the show. And the best part was, like, he's telling this story of, like, wait, Baron, did you talk about how he was, like, him and his brother were captured, and he was, like, separated from his brother, and his brother is basically, as far as he knows, either dead or still enslaved?
Yeah, I think I missed that part.
Did you leave that little bright little nugget of the story out there? Because he's, like, telling these... Well, he's telling the kids this as he's, like, trying to fix their, like, wagon or whatever. And he's just got a smile on his face, and he's just doing his work. He's like, oh, yeah, me and my brother were captured from our homeland in Africa, and we were sold into slavery. And then eventually my brother sold off, and he might be dead. And then I bought my way free and came up here. Well, time to go to bed, kids. Yeah, it's pretty messed up. Now, the rest of the kids, I mean, Sarah has probably the best... it's kind of hoity-toity origin story. So let's talk about James before we even get to her. Because I don't know when... Baron, you watched a few more of the earlier episodes. I don't know when they get to his origin. I just read it offline.
Let me see. I think they didn't... That was also, like, not a flashback one.
Right.
But I think it was in the third episode.
So this kid's kind of...
Yeah, I think it was in the third episode.
That kid's kind of... Not really a jerk, but he's basically like your... I don't know. I'm trying to, like, compare him to Henri, who's, like, this little energetic spitfire.
No. Okay, so James is, like, the guy who gets super obsessed about one thing and then just doesn't shut the fuck up about that one thing. Like, everything he does, he's just like, I'm going to be a journalist. Nobody cares. Nobody can read at this
point. Nobody at this point in history can read.
How about you teach people to read first, buddy?
Start
with
that
walk,
orphan.
You got to crawl before you walk, jerk.
Like, a little orphan jerk. Yeah, he's another orphan. Another orphan. Because they love populating the show with orphans. It's really bad. And as I was reading it, I was just like, oh, and that's how he becomes friends with Ben Franklin. I saw it coming well before I actually read it.
Do you want to bet that, like, Ben Franklin was the one that, like, commanded the lightning bolt to hit James's, like, family's house,
like,
killing his parents?
He's basically like, well,
him.
I don't have any kids of my own. Maybe another historical fact that people should probably check, because I have no idea. He could have hundreds of kids. He's like, so what I need to do is get an orphan to be my journalist in training. What's
going to fly this
tight
with a key over top of this?
I'm just going to tie it to this kid's house and see what happens. So basically, he's orphaned when a lightning storm breaks out and burns the kid's house down with his parents inside, killing everyone except James. Now, my favorite tag is that James Hiller, after this tragedy has befallen his family, James Hiller is the kid's name. He now admires Ben Franklin because he invented the lightning rod. Invented the lightning rod. Just let that sink in. Don't know if he did it before or after, but either way, whatever. It's like, man, sure do miss my parents and that house we used to have. But good old Ben Franklin and his lightning rod. Now, we've got the last person of this group. So, at this point, even in the first episode, so James and Henri, there's a few years difference in their ages. James is kind of like a mid-teenager, and Henri is kind of like maybe around 10 years old or so. So, there's a little bit of a difference. Moses is older. Moses is maybe in his 20s, 30s, and he's kind of like, he works around the print shop, but he also kind of watches out for the kids.
Oh, no. Just go ahead and say it. Moses is the only useful one that actually does anything.
Yeah, pretty much. And he keeps the kids kind of like in check too.
Like Moses is the best. Yeah. I just want to go on record
hashtag
saying that, like, hashtag the best, yeah. Hashtag blessed. I mean, like, he is wonderful. Like, he's the only person who I feel like in this show out of, like, this ragtag group has, like, any common sense and is, like, making any progress regarding, like, what they're doing. Because these other three are just there to throw, like, a monkey wrench into, like, any plans that they have.
Yeah, all their real job is to just, like, sit back and observe and occasionally do some interviews.
Yeah, their job is to just shut the fuck up.
Yeah, just write it down.
Let history happen.
Well, but now they have to. Their real job is that they have to teach these kids, like, what's going on. They got to reach these kids. So that's kind of what they do. Now, let's talk about, before we get into the actual plot of the first episode, Boston Tea Party, let's finish up with Sarah Phillips. Now, Sarah Phillips is the one member of this main cast that has not yet joined up with a group in this first episode. She's on a ship crossing the Atlantic from England, supposed to be going to Boston,
right.
I believe.
Supposed
to be going to Philadelphia, sorry.
Possibly the best ship I've ever seen. She was the only one on it.
Yes. Except like one captain above the deck. Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty great.
Yeah. And it was a huge ship.
That was enormous.
She gets in one little storm, and she gets an ink blot on her nose.
Right to her face. That was a little weird for me. That was strange. I was like, "Why? Whose decision?"
She takes, like, an ink money shot within the first 40 seconds of meeting her.
That's pretty weird.
It's like, whoa, what's up, Sarah?
So in the meantime, she's writing a letter back to her mom, who's like this noble woman, you know, Lady Phillips, whoever the hell that is, who happens to be meeting with Franklin at the time. So these two are meeting together. Now, in my show notes, I made a little notation that Franklin was probably trying to bang Lady Phillips because that was kind of what he was known for. This show, for whatever reason.
Thank God you wrote that.
Oh, well,
get
yeah.
that. Get it.
And then shared it with everyone. Yeah. So for whatever reason, the show decided not to share that with the kids. So just read between the lines here. You can infer. This is teaching kids to infer.
Here's the other thing, is that if I ever meet somebody who, like, leaves, like, my general area, and then they write to me, and they're just like, I will write you every day. That's the day I stop being friends with that person.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're, like, 12.
Because, I'm going to not be friends with a 12-year-old if that's
well, it's probably like, good. It's that's probably a good thing. Probably a good just thing. Just in general, yeah.
That's how I'm going to, like, that's my new friend test, is if whether or not you're willing to write me a letter every day. If you even attempt it, we're no longer friends.
This is why we all only talk during this one-hour podcast.
This is it.
This is the only time we talk.
Any more than this, we're no longer friends.
Nope, done. So those are the characters. So now you kind of have an idea. And again, you can go back to the site and check, or you can just Google it. But what the hell? You might as well go to our site and do it because we already did the work for you. You can check out and see kind of what these characters look like. It's very kind of like it's cartoonish. I don't really know how to describe it or what even really to compare it to.
It's like 90s Disney. It has that kind of like a 90s Beauty Disney. And the Beast, angular hair.
Yeah, Aladdin, kind of even kind on. Of a little bit. Yeah. That's probably a good description. So that's kind
the
of
like
what they got going.
Rounded square eye. Yeah.
The old rounded square eye. I don't know what ethnicity that is, but we'll take it. Apparently, it's colonial American.
Oh, boy.
So, anyway, as I mentioned, so little Miss Sarah Phillips, little hoity toity loyalist English quote unquote bitch, as Baron called her, Sarah Phillips, is destined for Philadelphia. Now, she's supposed to go to Philadelphia to meet up with Franklin and the crew, but because of a storm, that ship is rerouted to Boston. You guys remember the name of that ship that she happened to be on?
The Dartmouth.
The Dartmouth.
The Dartmouth.
Yes, which plays an interesting role in the history because that was one of three British ships that were caught up in the port and were part of the Boston Tea Party. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, so. Yeah, so we're introduced to her, we're introduced to these other kids, and her being rerouted to Boston. That's when Franklin, or I think Moses, does Moses get a letter from Franklin? Somebody gets a letter and says, like, oh, by the way, this chick you're looking for is up in Boston now. Yeah,
that's it.
So they just travel up to Boston. Now, here's one of the things that kept recurring in the episodes that I watched. The length of time that it takes anyone to get places in this show doesn't seem representative of what was actually going on in, like, colonial times.
Like, no, I mean, this is like some video game fast travel.
Oh, yeah. Or even just like common contemporary day highway travel, because like they have to go to from Philadelphia to New York at one point and back within the space of a day. Well, even if you're like pushing the horse and getting a new one every few miles, it's probably still going to take you like 15-20 hours just to do that. So these guys just hop up to Boston, they're good to go. So when they get up there, kind of what transpires once they get up to Boston? They start walking through the mean streets of Boston.
Boston Tea Party, son.
Yeah, right to it? Going right to it?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, fair enough.
I mean, here's the thing. Is that
You don't even want to talk about Sam Adams hanging out in the bar being all rowdy and fat?
Like, he was great.
Rowdy and fat.
He was rowdy and fat. He's like, you all know me. He's like this portly dude. He's like, everybody's just like sloppy drunk. He's like, you know me, I'm Sam Adams. He's like, here you go, kids. Now you should know who this is. That was Sam Adams calling up.
I mean, it's just, it was, sorry, I just got a text from Sam Adams. I liked that they threw Sam Adams in there.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
It was kind of funny, to see him, like, riling up a group of people, like, in a bar, like, in Boston. Because, like, that's exactly what you would expect Sam Adams to be doing.
Currently. Today, even.
Now.
Citing the Sugar Act, the Tea Act, the Stamp Act. Yeah.
So many acts. But it was like, it was kind of hard because, like, he was kind of in and out, and it was just like, it felt like it was a missed opportunity that they could have explored a little bit more about Sam Adams and his character.
Well, look, what they did there, they brought him in, and they're like, oh, it's a recognizable name that you kids probably heard in a history lecture at some point when you weren't sleeping. So they're just like, it's Sam Adams. And he goes
through
this,
like... Who
hasn't
heard of Sam Adams, though?
All these drunk kids.
Like, if they had brought out, like, Jim Cook, and he was just like,
exactly.
Hey, guys.
Like, hey, I'm from Sam Adams. Like, oh, it's the Patriot.
Like, oh, there's that guy.
Pawtucket Pat. But yeah, so they basically just bring him in to like hit these talking points that they probably have to like check off for whatever educational requirement the show
well,
has.
Well, I mean, he's coming in to stir the pot.
Yeah, it's exactly what he's doing. So he's getting all these drunk Bostonians riled up, reminding them all of the different taxations that came from Britain. And then he's like, oh, and by the way, the Boston Massacre happened. And then they're just like, wah, like flipping tables. And they're like, let's dress as Indians and dump all the tea. It's like, where does this... How did we jump right to that? Have you been talking about this?
So, I mean, like, here's the thing is, like, the kids are, like, there, and they're, like, walking in the street, and then suddenly they see, like, this rowdy group of bar folk.
Just pouring out down the back alley.
Yeah, just pouring out. And, like, one of the kids is just like, oh, my God, like, there's a whole bunch of Native Americans.
A bunch of Mohawks, yeah.
Yeah, a bunch of, like, war bonnets and, like, headdresses and stuff like that. And, like, they're all, like, running in the direction of the docks. And, you know, these kids are like, oh, my gosh, all these Native Americans. And then one of them is just like, really? Like a blonde Native
I think
American?
It was Moses that
like,
was basically just like, oh, Moses? The blonde, blue-eyed
again,
Native American
again,
doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
With any common sense.
Well, here, so I got to say this. Two of my favorite moments of this episode. The one when they're in the bar and they're getting all rowdy. And they, like, form this like, plan to do the Boston Tea Party thing. And the one guy, like, dumps his ash from his pipe onto the bar and dips his finger in and just drags his fingers across his cheek like he's making the tear marks or, like, the war makeup. And he looks right in the camera. It's so fucking intense.
He looked like he was somebody like prepping for like a Monday night football
game. He was ready to just go
like,
on the gridiron.
And just
man.
Like and just breaking the fourth wall.
That was the original
like, staring you. That was so.
That was the original Redskins.
You ready for some football?
Yeah, it was before they moved to Washington. Terrible. My other favorite part of this whole endeavor is like, yes, I understand that Moses bought his freedom and he travels with papers that in case anybody stops him, he's like, no, I'm free. I'm not a slave. Everything's cool. Maybe not. The best choice to have him as like your sole guardian of these kids just walking around because he's probably going to attract some attention, which kind of happens later on too. But yeah. So now everybody goes on this ship and they start dumping all this tea. It happens to be the ship that Sarah's on. So that's how we kind of have this meet cute, if you want to call it. Everybody kind of getting to know each other. The funny thing was the show actually portrayed this act as a little more violent, a little more rowdy than it actually was. I guess historically, it was actually like a fairly calm protest. Even the sailors at one point, they were like, well, we're not going to stop you, and we'll even help you, because what the hell do we care? So that was kind of interesting, that it was like, this show walks a weird line between giving kids just enough historical fact to just be like, okay, remember this name and this title of this thing, and that's all you need to know. You don't really need to know like, the nuances of it, yeah.
But, I mean, like, you think about it, like, what's the one thing... that kids in history, like kids learning about history, what's the one thing that they crave?
Electrolytes?
I was going to say blood.
Oh, blood. Like, yeah, kids love historical blood.
Kids love historical blood.
Kids love lightning strikes and
hot
blood. Tostina's pizza rolls. Oh, shit. That's not our sponsor, by the way, but I wish they were.
Do you have sponsors?
I wish we did. Hey, get a sponsor this mess.
So, It ends up getting rowdy on the ship, and as a turn of event, oh man, geez, you can't wait for this because it's not like it's the most predictable thing, but like James bumps into Sarah Phillips and he's just like, what do you feel about this? I'm a journalist again.
He's in the middle of this like riot.
Shut up. Like
this riot is going on in the ship above him. People are screaming and like shooting. And he's like, oh, hey, by the way, I'm a journalist. And he just, like, whips out his little pad of paper and is like, how do you feel about this? And then he just argues in her face when she's just like, I think it's disgraceful. Because she's this prissy, like, English girl. So and that sets
and
up so, their, and, yeah, their sort of contentious
and
relationship.
And I love that, like, he's like, oh, just so I can get the quote, what's your name? And she's like, it's like Sarah Phillips.
He's like,
and he's
wait,
like,
oh? Oh, he spells it out, and he gets 99% of the way through her name.
God, so
just to eat up time, I think, on this show. Because we're 10 minutes into that show, and it's called the Boston Tea Party, right? The Boston Tea Party's done. It's done.
Yeah,
so now they're
done.
Like, well, what the hell do I do now? Here's what you do. You escape through the streets of Boston, basically kidnapping Sarah as you go along, because she doesn't want to go with him. and you end up at the house of Phyllis Wheatley, because that's what you do. So I had to look her up because I'm terrible again. But apparently the first African-American woman published, I don't know, ever, or just in the United States or colonial America or what. But they just show up at her house, and then they're all like flabbergasted to find that she's actually kind of a slave to the Wheatleys. This is where they stop. Now, granted, it's after curfew. They've already been stopped by a guard in the streets. The British are patrolling the streets looking for anybody that's out after dark. Now they're all standing there with a black man and a bunch of unrelated kids and a slave. And they're standing there after curfew, and Phyllis just decides to tell her story right then and there. Not like, hey, come on around back. I'll make you some tea and then we'll chat. Just, let me just tell you my life story right here and now.
And I mean, like, it's challenging. I mean, like, you have to realize that, like, this is like maybe 15 minutes. This is like anywhere between like the 10 and 15 minute mark. Yeah. And so far, like, there have been like two backstories that are related to slavery. And like, that is never an easy thing to like just dive into.
Well, and they picked the weirdest time and place to do it too, because if you want to talk slavery, I don't know, maybe leave it for the Civil War, because even the founding fathers were like, look, we don't necessarily agree with it, especially people like Jefferson, who tried to work it into a lot of the documents. They're basically like, look, this is a problem, but we've got bigger fish to fry right now. We've got to become an independent nation first, and then we can deal with that later. They were like, let's table it for 80 years, and then we'll deal with it.
Thanks, Obama.
Okay. Jesus. I don't know where that came from. But it's just weird how they try to, like, shoehorn that stuff in. It's like, if you're doing Boston Tea Party, maybe don't focus on, like, slave rights for half of this episode. So I don't know. It was just a little strange. Maybe.
I mean, they could have talked more about, like, the Tea Act, the Stamp Act.
Any of the,
like,
taxes, the occupation by the soldiers, any of that stuff.
Right. I mean, they explain very like, clearly in, like, one line of dialogue.
Thanks, Sam Adams.
Like, they're just like, you know, we're being taxed as a colony, and we have no representation in British Parliament.
Doesn't James end actually say it? I think he says it. He's like, no taxation.
He says that almost verbatim.
Without representation.
No taxation.
It's like, what does that mean? Yeah.
You know, like, hey, buddy, just move to D.C. We still have that.
Yeah, you have it on your license plate, don't you?
So, I mean, like, you know, it's just... They go through this whole big long thing, and so whatever, it's all done.
That's pretty much it. So that's kind of like end of story.
Yeah, they get, that's it. That's like the first episode.
The funny thing
was, they need to get a letter out. And they need to get a printing press.
Yes,
and then they just commit a breaking and entering.
No, well, that too. And meanwhile, like, Franklin is back in England, where, unbeknownst to me or apparently history, he's being tried as like a traitor in like the House of like Lords or something in Parliament.
Yeah,
which I don't remember that.
Nah,
I don't think that ever happened. I think so. The only historical fact I think there, the Boston Tea Party did happen when he was over in London. They found out about it, and he kind of denounced it because he had to publicly there, even though he was kind of supported what they did back home. But over there, he it was a very savvy political mind, so he kind of like downplayed it and was just like, okay, I should probably get the fuck out of here and get back, or they will hang me the next time. So don't think they ever brought him up as a traitor, but whatever. It's just educating the kids. It's just whatever you need to tell them is fine. Yeah. So that's the end of Boston Tea Party. Now, did you guys watch any other episodes that you want to chat about?
I watched the next episode.
I think you guys both did. So do you want to?
Yeah, I watched the next two.
What was that about, Matt? What was the next one about?
So right after the Boston Tea Party, it kind of went right into they were like harping on the taxes thing for a bit, and they went right into like the next taxes, like the Intolerable Act, that kind of thing. So, you know, I mean, it was interesting in the like sort of educational cartoon way that they kind of took one historical item and then built a largely bullshit story around it. But at the same time, like, you know, just a lot of the, you know, items like the, you know, Stamp Act, the Intolerable Acts, like, you know, the Sugar Act, I mean, they kind of build it into like almost like one episode each.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm almost glad I didn't watch this because I don't know if I could have sat through them.
Yeah, I was like, well, I guess I should just keep going.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give them credit because it's like this stuff isn't exactly dry. Like John Adams is a great miniseries to sit through and watch it, and you learn a lot of stuff. I don't know how historically accurate it all is, but it's very entertaining and it feeds it to you in a way that you're just listening and watching a story. This stuff was very much like, okay, kids, now it's time to pay attention because here comes a historical factoid. It's tough, you know, to balance that. I watched, the first 4th of July, which was basically when they were trying to get the Declaration of Independence together, and they had to, you know, get all the delegation or the delegates from the 13 colonies to, like, come together and ratify and agree on things, and that was a big bone of contention. I think they did that one okay. That one was fine. I don't know. Do you guys have any more you want to talk about in specific episodes before we kind of wrap up and see if we recommend?
I was just curious, in what episode did they bring in Benjamin Martin?
Ben Martin?
Yeah, it was Mel Gibson played him in the movie The Patriot.
What? Oh, yeah, I don't know. He's all just bloody on the battlefield with, just holding an American flag.
Yeah, what part did that – wait, was that not historically accurate?
No, 100%.
Oh, 100%.
That's well, that how Heath character died, was actually. Based off a historical figure.
No, was it really?
Was it really?
Yeah.
Was it Sylvester Stallone's Paul Revere? That might be the fact of the episode. I love that so much.
Oh my God.
I love that.
Oh, my God. Dave.
Classic.
Dave, how do you feel about this show? Would you seriously recommend it?
Dude, I mean, look, if I were a third or fourth grade teacher and I wanted...
You just had a deep sigh. That's a no.
I did. Like I said, if I'm a third or fourth grade teacher and I'm really hungover after the 4th of July weekend... Then, yeah, I'm going to play, a straight week of select episodes just to
I'm
get
so
myself
glad you're
back
not a
together.
Teacher.
No, it's probably a really good thing, because who would be teaching in the 4th of July in the middle of fucking summer, I just realized. Let's see, one of them crazy year-round schools, that's un-American. I don't know. Like I said, for us in the shows that we kind of talk about that are just, entertaining and fun and just goofy tunes, no. I wouldn't look at it for that. But... if you're actually looking for something for, younger kids to give them something educational, it's not just the sugary crap that's on TV, then, yeah, it's probably – you could do worse. You could do worse. Yeah. Ringing okay. endorsement, you can do worse.
Baron, how did you feel?
You know, I mean, it was good and bad. I mean, on one hand, I kind of like the animation style and, I'm, on the fence with historical cartoons because – on one hand, it's, a good show, but on the other hand, it's terribly done. So, I'm giving this a solid 5.
Out of what?
Out of what?
30. What are you trying just to five. Scale out of 30? Just 5. You do the math.
You do the math.
So, I don't know. Man. Well, Sean, did you give your non-recommendation yet? You obviously hate this show, but.
You know what? I would say watch the first episode.
Yeah, check it out.
I'd say watch the first episode just because, look, if you're as much of a fan as I am about seeing the East India Tea Company get their comeuppance, then yes, you have to watch the first episode for the show.
Captain Jack Sparrow doesn't show up though, as far as I know.
I think it's again not to reiterate a point, but I mean, I just think. Historical cartoons are very challenging and educational cartoons are very challenging. And so they took two challenging subjects and put them together, two challenging genres and mashed them together. And I mean, I think for the purpose that it served, I think that it was good. I think that if you have sat through a history class and you have graduated high school and you're watching this, you're just going to sit there and just be like, what is this? What the hell is going on?
I've ever described any show like this before, but it's functional.
Functional.
Yeah, it
which
really
isn't
serves
really, entertaining.
A purpose.
Yeah, it serves a specific purpose, and it manages to almost achieve that purpose well. But yeah, so the show's about history. This show is history, and we'll never have to talk about that one again. So
thank you.
You guys, that's our first holiday special. What the hell? Arbor Day? I don't know what the next one's going to be. No idea. Are there any Arbor Day shows?
Oh, please.
Captain Planet?
Yeah, that'll work.
Oh, God.
That's more of an Earth Day, I guess. We can work some Arbor Day in.
Shut up, Dave. We're getting up for Arbor Day. Shut up.
So we'll have another holiday special coming at you. In the meantime, do you guys have anything that you want to plug in the coming weeks?
Yep.
What you got? What's coming up?
Hey, I'm going to be performing some improv in the District of Columbia.
How about that?
Who's dropping bowling pins?
That would be Rachel.
Oh, Rachel.
Rachel's our producer, yes.
July 12th at the Source Theater in Washington, D.C., near U Street. I'm going to be performing improv at 10 p.m. With a group called Nox. That's N-O-X. You can look us up and find tickets online at WashingtonImprovTheater.com.
Excellent. We'll have all that information up on our website as usual. Matt, I know you just moved. You're probably looking forward to a good long rest. Anything coming up for you in the coming weeks?
Lots of IKEA furniture assembly.
Ooh, boom. That's rough.
That's exciting.
That is not a vacation.
I love that.
Do you? Maybe you can go over to his place and do it for him.
I really do.
It'll be an international experience for you.
It is international. Yeah, I mean, it's strangely therapeutic in a way that, you know, the hate just drowns everything else. I concur.
Very focused hate.
I put a bed together backwards once and then had to take it apart.
What, like upside down?
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. How do people sleep? I don't sleep.
Sean sleeps strapped to his mattress and hanging from the ceiling, apparently.
I have a sleepwalking disorder. Relax.
Ah, well, there you go. That explains it. Okay. Yeah, so not much for me. I will say if you're interested in any of the San Diego Comic-Con stuff that's coming up at the end of this month, you might want to head over to Collider.com. That's where I write for the site, doing movie news, TV news, entertainment, stuff like that. And we will have a ton of people out at Comic-Con, and we'll be doing a lot of coverage over there. So if you can't quite make it yourself, or if you are going and want to meet up with some of the guys, just follow along at Collider.com. As far as this show, you can find us on our website at SaturdayMorningCartoons.com. That's morning with a U. You can find us on Twitter at MorningToons.com. Sean's been doing a great job over at our Tumblr page. I don't know how much stuff is going to be for Liberty Kids on Tumblr, but I'm sure we'll find something.
I mean, I put a bunch up there.
Oh, did you already? Okay.
I put a couple things up there. It just, it wasn't
entertaining, creative.
I only put one post. It was a little bit challenging to find.
I'm sure it was. So, you can find that over at SaturdayMorningCartoons.tumblr.com. You can also email us at SaturdayMorningCartoons@gmail.com if you are so inclined. You can give me reading lessons. I would greatly appreciate that. Where can we find you guys on the Twitters and the Instagrams, all that good stuff?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Sean Paul Ellis.
And Matt?
I'm at MattSF07.
Excellent. And that'll be it for us today. You can find us again next week where we're going to be talking about one of my favorite cartoons. I'm really looking forward to this one.
Oh, man.
And guess what? It's my pick, so I get to say what we're doing this time.
I know.
Going to be Cops.
Yes.
Fighting crime in a future time.
In future time.
Man, I'm looking forward to that one. It's going to be good. Till next time, thanks for listening. It's been Saturday Morning Cartoons.